going to do is we're going to jump right into this because this is a powerful lesson as the Holy Spirit allows us to go precept by precept, line by line. Last week, I believe, ended verse 17, and we are now walking into verse 18. And so what we're going to do is we're going to read verse 17 and 18, and then we're going to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us concerning verse 18. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Chapter 3, verses 17, the Bible says, because thou said, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou see. Amen, amen. And we want to stop right there at verse 18. Amen, as the Holy Spirit continues to minister to us on this evening. As we look at verse 18, my brothers and sisters, it is important that we take a few moments to reach back and to be reminded of the culture and or the environment in which this church was located. Amen?
Yeah.
And the reason why, if one is asking, is because what we see here in verse 18 is the culture in which this church was located played a role and how Jesus is speaking to them concerning their spiritual condition.
Uh-huh.
Amen. The record shares with us that this church was a church which was located in a city that was recognized as being very prosperous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Amen. The record shares with us, if you can recall, that this particular church was a church which was located in a city which was well known for their businesses,
mm-hmm.
somewhat like a business district. The record shares with us, if you recall, three of the businesses that this city was well known for, because they were the sources of this city's economic growth, they were known for their banking centers.
Mm-hmm.
This city was a city that was known for their clothing centers.
Mm.
And this city was a city that was known for their medical schools.
Amen.
That was well known for treating eye conditions. Amen?
Amen. Wow. Amen.
So you can understand that when we look at verse 18, when the Bible says that Jesus said in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, and that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You can understand that they knew what Jesus was talking about when he spoke about buying gold that made them rich, because they knew about money, because it was a city that was located, it was a city that was known for their banking centers. Amen?
Amen.
They can relate when Jesus spoke about clothing.
Yes.
Because it was a city that was known for their clothing manufacturing. They can understand when Jesus spoke about anointing the eyes with eye salve, because it was a city that was known for their medical schools that treated eye conditions. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Therefore, when we look at verse 18, in spite of their spiritual condition, Jesus is speaking to the church in a manner in which they could relate to. Amen?
Amen.
It is here in verse 18, that Jesus uses the culture in which they are living in to speak to them in a language that they can certainly relate to.
Amen.
And how many know today, my brothers and sisters, that God still speaks to us in a manner that we can relate to?
Amen.
How many know today that in spite of our spiritual condition, God will speak to us in a language that we can understand.
Yes.
I think I'm talking to somebody that knows, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Yes, he is.
That God, that whatever station of life we are in, God knows how to get his message across to us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. They got to find a way. Amen. Now, the reason why that is important, my brothers and sisters, is because what you will find as a believer is that one of the abilities the Holy Spirit of God gives to the believer is the ability to minister to all men and women.
That's yeah. right.
Let me say that again. One of the abilities that the Holy Spirit gives to the believer is the ability to minister to all men.
Yeah. Amen.
It does not matter whatever state an individual is in. It does not matter one's denomination. It does not matter one's ethnicity. It does not matter the social status of an individual. The Holy Spirit will give the believer the ability to minister to the word of God to all men and women, regardless of their beliefs, regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of their social standing. Am I talking to somebody on today?
Amen. Amen.
Now, whether they receive you or not, that's really up to them.
That's right.
But that's so very important, my brothers and sisters, because there are many who believe that, you know, simply because an individual is not in the same denomination as one might be in, then there's no way they can minister to them. You know, someone might think just because someone is a different ethnicity, then there's no way that one can minister to them.
Amen.
There's some that they think because folk are in a different social setting or social environment, that one does not have the ability to minister. But the Holy Spirit is wise enough to give the believer the ability to minister to all men. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Now I want to qualify that, if you will. Sister Toya, if you can turn to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verses 9 through 23. Tell you right now, I think so many have just closed or put God in a box.
Yes.
You know, because they think that there's only a certain group of people that they can minister to, or simply because of the color of their skin, they only can minister to a certain group of people. But Amen. It does not matter. The Holy Spirit gives the believer the ability to minister to all men.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verses 19 through 23. Just want to share that with you now.
Amen. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Mm-hmm. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law.
Yes.
To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak.
Yes.
That I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men.
Yes.
That I might by all means save some.
Wee.
And this I do for the gospel's sake, yes, that I might be partaker thereof with you.
Amen, amen. So what Paul was expressing to us is that through the power of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm, Paul was able to minister to all men,
amen,
regardless of what state of life that they were in. Now, mm-hmm, now it's important to for us to make mention here of what Paul is also saying to us. Paul is also letting us know that he did not have to compromise his beliefs, mm-hmm, in order to minister to all men. Amen?
Amen.
You got to be clear about that. You must understand, Paul is not saying that he had to come in compliance, mm-hmm, with beliefs that were contrary to the word of God.
That's right.
You know, and when Paul says that he became all things to all men, that Paul was not saying that he had to water down the message, mm-hmm, just to minister to others. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
that's so very important, my brothers and sisters, because there are many people who think that they have to compromise their beliefs in the Word of God just to reach somebody.
That's yeah. right.
There are many people who think they have to come into compliance with Christian values that are contrary to the Word of God just to reach another soul.
That's right.
There are many who think that they have to water down the Word of God. We mm-hmm. see that all the time now in order to minister to all men. But my mm-hmm. brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
And God will never lead a believer to water down the gospel, to compromise the Word of God for their lives, simply to minister to someone else. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Are we talking to somebody on today?
Yes, we are.
Amen, 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 amen. Therefore, it is here Jesus is speaking to this church, the church of the Laodiceans, in a manner that even though they had become spiritually destitute, they could at least comprehend what Jesus was saying to them. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And that's so very important because, you know, a lot of times we always want to make excuses for folk. Yeah. You know, if they knew better, they would do better. Well, see, you have to understand, when God is speaking to us, then God will make sure that he will make it very clear to us of what he's saying to us. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Somebody on
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 So Jesus was making it very clear to them because he was able to speak to them in a level that they were on. He was able right. to speak That's to right. them in the things that they understood. Amen. Regardless of their spiritual condition.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
Think about this, because the Bible is very clear that we cannot understand the Word of God unless the Holy Spirit gives us revelation.
That's Amen. Right. Amen.
But God gives us common sense.
Common sense.
God gives us the ability Amen. To know right from wrong. Amen.
Yes, so, he does. So, yes, yes. So
you don't need the discernment to know what's right and wrong. Amen.
Amen.
You don't need spiritual discernment to know what common sense is. Am I talking to somebody?
Yeah. God gives that knowledge.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Are y'all with me on this morning?
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. So right here now, when we look at verse 18, Revelations, the third chapter, verse 18. Let me get back there. I got caught up in this thing, y'all. Y'all get me all excited. I say I won't go get excited this afternoon. No.
All right.
Okay, Revelations, third chapter, verse 18. Watch this, y'all. What we will find as we look at chapter 3, verse 18, is that the first three words in this verse is the most important words in verse 18. Right here, verse 18. When we read verse 18, you will find that the first three words that Jesus speaks to this congregation is the most important words in this verse. What are those words? Verse 18, the Bible says, I counsel thee.
Yes.
We can stop right there. We can talk about that all night long. But the most important words in this verse, first three words that Jesus says to the congregation, he says, I counsel thee. Can we stop right there and expound on that?
Yes,
the reason why these words are important, the most important in this particular verse, because it is here in verse 18 that Jesus is now operating in the office of a counselor to the church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let me say that again. When we look at these verses, it is here that Jesus has now put on his official hat.
Man.
Operating
yes, the Lord.
Of a counselor to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Say that again. You got to look at verse 18. He said, I counsel thee. Isn't that what he said?
Yes,
it is here that Jesus is counseling the members of the church from the pulpit to the back door.
Mm.
Yes,
oh
yes.
My goodness. Right. I got to say it again. Look what he said. He said, I counsel thee.
Mm-hmm.
But let me stop right here. How many know that Jesus is a counselor?
Amen.
He's a wonderful counselor.
Oh, well, you see, you went on me, but I would go say it, but I'm going to say it. How many know that he's not only a counselor, but he is a wonderful counselor?
Amen. Amen.
Already now.
Now, what does that mean when the Bible reminds us that Jesus is a wonderful counselor? It is reminding us that Jesus is a powerful counselor. It means that Jesus is a remarkable counselor.
Yes.
It means that Jesus is a great counselor. Let me say that. It means there's no other counselor like Jesus the Christ.
Unlike him.
Oh, man, somebody ought to be able to give God a praise right there.
Amen. Amen.
Now, in looking at this letter, and these three most important words in this particular verse, the Holy Spirit would like to spend this evening reminding the church that today, 2022, that Jesus is still operating as a wonderful counselor.
Oh yes.
Oh my goodness, in the name of Jesus. Oh, I think I heard two or three jumping on this. I'm all right now. Now here's the reason if someone's asking why we want to spend all time on reminding or being reminded that Jesus in 2022 is still a wonderful counselor. Watch this, y'all. Because it is important for the body of Christ to be reminded that one of the things that God desires is to be a counselor to the church.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that again. The reason why he wants to expound on this, because the church must be reminded that one of the things that God desires is to be a counselor to the church. Number two, second reason is simply because one of the truths the Holy Spirit wants to remind us on tonight is that Jesus desires to function as a counselor for the believer's life.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. Now let me just ask this question. Anybody lately been seeking Jesus for some counsel lately?
Right.
Anybody sought Jesus for some counsel lately?
All the time.
What about this? Here's the third reason why is if it is a fact, and it is a fact that Jesus is a wonderful counselor, then the question that we must ask is why is it that the church does not allow him to be the counselor to the church as a whole?
Amen. Why?
The question that we must ask. If we all agree that not only is he a counselor, but he is a wonderful counselor, then why is it then that we do not allow Jesus to be a counselor in and for our lives?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. What we will find, and most of you all will agree, that we have no problem receiving Jesus as a healer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have no problem receiving Jesus as a deliverer in our lives.
Amen.
We have no problem receiving Jesus as a one who can make a way out of no way.
That's right.
But when it comes to receiving Jesus as a counselor for our lives, uh-oh, we got a problem.
Come on with me.
And here's the reason why, my brothers and sisters, is because we are finding that there are many in the church that will heed to the counsel of this world rather than heed to the counsel of God for their lives.
Uh-huh.
There are many. Okay. There are many who are following the counsel of men rather than following the counsel of God for their lives.
Amen.
So it's on today as Jesus sees, he reminds us here in verse 18 that, wait a minute, I need to remind you all that I'm not only a healer, I'm not only a deliverer, but I am also a counselor to the church.
Right, amen.
Are we talking to somebody on today?
Right, amen.
Therefore, in reminding us from the pulpit on back that God is a counselor.
Yes, he is.
That we simply want to qualify according to the word of God that in 2022, God is still a counselor. Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because a whole lot of folk have just probably forgotten that. Wait a minute. One of the things that Jesus is to the church or desires to be, he desires to be a counselor.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what we're going to do, Sister Fermi, if you could turn to Psalm 16, verse 7. Sister Toya, if you can turn to Psalms 73, verse 24. Mother Ingers, you all right this evening?
I'm good.
Okay, if you could turn to Isaiah 9:6.
Isaiah 9:6.
Chairman, if you could turn to Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verse 1 and 4. And Sister Camille, if you can turn to John, the 14th chapter, verses 15 through 26. Like I said, we just The Holy Spirit wants to remind the church that he is a counselor and you got to stay with him.
Amen, amen.
We're about to take you somewhere now, amen. But we got to qualify this because somebody needs to be reminded that he is a counselor in 2022.
Amen. Okay, we're
going to start it. Psalm 16, verse 7.
I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the ninth season.
Amen, amen. We're just going to read it. So if you want to, you know, put, mark it down in your Bible, you can. And then we're going to Psalms 73. Verse 24.
Amen.
Amen.
Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory.
Amen, amen. So here's what we must understand. One of the ways that God guides the believer is by his counsel.
That's right, amen.
I'll say that. One of the ways that God guides the believer is through his counsel, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Just wanted to. All right. Then we go on to Isaiah 9:6. Oh, we ought to be able to quote this without even reading this. Go ahead. Who is that? Who got that?
I got that. I got that.
Yes.
Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
I just got to remind. Wait, he's a wonderful counselor. Oh my goodness! In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Man, all right. Then we're going all the way up. We can't leave out the New Testament. He's even a counselor to the New Testament saints. John, the 14th chapter, verses 15 through 26.
Amen.
Amen.
If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever.
Yeah.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth within you, and shall be in you.
Mm.
I would not leave you comfortless. Yeah. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how it is that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
Amen.
He that loveth me not keepeth not my saying. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the world which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me.
Yes.
These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whosoever I have said unto you.
Did y'all hear what the word said?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we must understand that it is through the Holy Spirit that God counsels us. In other words,
amen.
It's through the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter, that counsels the believer. Amen?
Amen, amen.
We just want to remind somebody that in 2022, my brothers and sisters, that God is still a counselor, amen.
Yes,
amen. Not only a counselor, but he's a wonderful counselor, amen. There's no other counselor like Jesus, amen.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
All right, I think we got one more on board, sister Hazy. All right, amen. Now what we want to do is reminding the church that as Jesus is operating as a counselor to the church of Lacedonians, that Jesus wants to be a counselor to the church today, amen?
Yes, he does, amen.
So somebody might be asking the question, well, what does it mean to counsel. Now, remember, we're not talking about just any type of counsel. We're talking about divine counsel. Amen. Some divine counsel. Now, let us define what exactly is divine counsel. Very simple. Amen. Counsel simply is defined as, and we're going to put God in here, is simply defined as God giving the believer advice.
Yes.
Pastor, you forgot me.
Did I? What I figured?
You forgot me.
Isaiah 11, 1 and 4.
Yeah.
Well, I showed this. Jimmy, you better stop me, man. I'm so excited about this word, man.
I got some reading to do, too, about this counselor.
And you got a good one, too, Doc.
I got a good one.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Let's go back.
All right. Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 4.
Hey, Chairman, I'm sorry. Chair, I was so focused on your wife there. I said, well, y'all is one.
Right. I almost forgot, too. I had chills running down my back as you read. I got it in my hand. That's how I remembered. I said, wait a minute. I was supposed to read, too.
Okay, Chairman, go ahead.
Amen. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord.
Ooh-wee.
Shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord.
Yes.
And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears.
Amen.
The righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked.
Mm-hmm. Amen. See, now you see how this is coming together. Because the spirit of counsel rests on the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are connected with Jesus, then Jesus will empower the believer with the spirit of counsel. So it goes back to what we said in the beginning. God gives the believer the ability to minister to all men. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And are y'all with me on this there? All right. Yeah, so we're going to slow it down, y'all, because I don't want to run past anymore tonight. What we want to do is we want to define simply the counsel of God. We're going to use in that perspective, amen, because we're talking about divine counsel. When we define the counsel of God is simply God giving the believer advice. That's what divine counsel is. Amen. Divine counsel is simply God giving guidance to the believer.
Amen.
Divine counsel is simply God giving the believer a plan for one's life.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Divine counsel is simply God recommending a plan and direction for the believer's life. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
So divine counsel is simply God giving advice. It is simply God giving the believer guidance. It is simply God giving the believer a plan to follow for one's life.
Mm-hmm.
It is simply God simply recommending the direction that the believer should go.
Amen.
Now notice, we did not say God forces the believer.
No.
That's right.
You see, God only advises us. God only gives us guidance.
Mm-hmm.
God only recommends the direction that we should go in.
Amen.
But God will not force the believer. Amen.
No.
Now, what God will do is God will make some situations very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to know what I'm talking about, we're reminded of Jonah. You remember Jonah? He tried to run away from God. God made things very uncomfortable for Jonah.
Yes.
Well, he decided to take God's advice for his life. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So we understand that, first of all, God is still a counselor in 2022. And now we understand what divine counsel is. It is simply God giving advice to us. It is simply God giving us guidance for our life. It is simply God giving a plan that he desires for us to follow in our lives. It is simply God recommending the direction that we should go in our lives. Are you with me on this?
Amen.
Now, the third thing that we want to do and remind it, and the Holy Spirit reminding us that God is a counselor in 2022, yeah, is we simply want to be reminded on today that God wants to really counsel us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Let me say it again, because you know, there are some folk, now think about it, you know, a lot of folk you call and you really want to lay your burdens on them because you really want to get some counsel for them. And they'll tell you what, you know, they act like they really don't want to listen to you or they don't have time to really give you advice. But wait a minute, y'all. If you are a child of God, we have a God that truly wants to counsel us.
Amen.
We have a God that wants to give us advice for our lives.
Yes.
We have a God that wants to give us guidance.
Mm.
We have a God that has a plan that he has already done for our lives that he wants to share with us.
Amen.
Look, if ever you want somebody to give you a recommendation on the direction that you should go in your life, guess what? We got a God that's sitting there waiting and said, I'm ready to be your counselor.
Amen.
Are we talking to somebody on today?
Yes.
No, I got to qualify that because, you know, some folk really don't believe it. You know, they're going to still go to Facebook. They're going to still call, look on the tarot cards, call the hotline, talking about I need some advice. You don't have to go there. You got a God that sits high and who looks low, and his eyes are upon us and his ears open to our prayers.
Amen.
Why is he there? He said, look, I got all the advice you need.
Yeah.
I got the plan for your life.
I got it.
Okay, but some of us really just don't believe he really wants to counsel.
Yeah.
Us.
Amen.
So can God tell us himself? Can we let God tell you that he wants to counsel you? Because but maybe y'all just don't believe what I'm saying. All right. Deaconess, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
If you could turn to Psalms 48, verse 14. Sister Hayes, if you could turn to Isaiah, the 58th chapter, verses 8 through 11. And then, Sister Furman, if you can turn to the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, verses 13 through 16. And what we want to do is simply, we just want to remind anybody who's looking for some advice, who's looking for some guidance, that you have to look no further as a child of God. But you've got a God who sits high and who looks low, who wants to operate as a counselor in your life. See, sometimes, watch this, you might think you need Jesus as a healer right now. You might think you need Jesus as a deliverer right now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a possibility what you really need him for right now is for him to be a counselor in your life.
Amen.
Amen. My goodness. Ooh, Holy Spirit just said something right there to somebody.
Yeah.
All right. We got Psalms 48, verse 14.
Yes, Psalms 48, verse 14.
All right.
For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death.
Dignes, can you read that one more time? He didn't say sometimes.
No.
He didn't say every once in a while. Look at this.
No. For this God is our God forever and ever.
Whose God is he? Go ahead.
He will be our guide even unto death.
Did y'all hear that?
Yes.
We don't have to go a day in our lives without the counsel of God, without the advice of God, without the plan of God for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason why most folk are living life without the counsel of God because they choose not to follow God's counsel.
Mm-hmm.
They choose not to receive Jesus as a counselor for their lives.
That's right.
I'm telling you right now, man, I got to go, when I get off here, I got to go dial Jesus up.
And he's there.
That's right. Amen. Isaiah 58 chapter verses 8 and 11.
Amen. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shall thy call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shall cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry,
and satisfy the afflicted soul. Then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not.
Did y'all hear that?
Amen, amen.
See, there's something that happens when we allow God to operate as a counsel for our lives.
Amen.
The way it said he'll satisfy our soul. Mm-hmm. Is that right? He'll make our fat, he'll make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden when we allow Jesus to be a counsel for our life. Let me ask y'all something. Have you ever thought about this? You know how much it costs to go and lay on the couch for somebody to give you counsel?
Go
dial up one of these doctors and how much the rate is going. They'll charge you $400-$600 to lay on that couch for an hour.
Amen.
To give you some counsel that probably ain't even right for your life. But we got a God that sits high and who looks low, who adopted us into his family through the blood of Jesus Christ, that is willing to give us all the counsel that we need and that will benefit our souls. If y'all not hearing me, what
amen,
I'm saying?
Amen.
Oh my goodness, in the name of Jesus. Boy, woo wee. Because you know, we got some folk that would suggest, you know, maybe you need to go see a shrink. Maybe you need to go see a doctor, a crazy doctor. No, maybe you need to just go see Jesus. Amen.
That's all.
What I'm saying to y'all. you know, we live in a time now that everybody got mental problems. Now y'all here.
Right,
you know, every time somebody do something, you know, everybody mentally disturbed. No, you ain't mentally disturbed. You just absent without Jesus.
That's
all it is. You get a little God in your life. I guess he'll straighten that mental situation out in your head. Are we talking to somebody on today?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
What's that? Okay, we got John the 16th chapter, verse 13 through 16.
Amen.
Yes. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall shew it unto you. A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father.
Amen, amen, amen. So one of the things that the counsel of God does for the believer, the counsel of God, the advice of God, the guidance of God, the recommendations of God will always lead us into truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The guidance of God, the counsel of God will always show us something that we need to see.
Amen.
So you see, he's not guiding us just to be guiding us.
No.
But when he guides us, when he operates as a counsel, he's guiding us into all truths.
All truth.
So wherever he leads us, then we know that we're right where we're supposed to be.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
You know what I'm saying to y'all? See, things happen when we allow Jesus to operate as a counsel for our lives.
Amen.
You see, folks think that when he guides us, he's just guiding us. No, that happens as we allow him to be a counselor for our lives.
Amen.
That's why I'll say this again. Some folk think that you need him for a healer tonight. Some folk think you need him for a deliverer, but maybe you might just need him for a counselor tonight. For your life. Are y'all with me on this morning? On this evening, I'm Mother English, I'm right where you are. Amen. So we just want to remind somebody that he wants to counsel you on tonight. Whatever you're going through on tonight, if you need direction, if you need advice, if you need a plan, if you need a recommendation, talk to Jesus about it.
Amen.
He wants to be a counselor to your life. He died on a cross so that he can be a counselor for our lives. The question is will we let him counselor for our lives? Are we talking to somebody on today?
Amen.
The fourth truth that we want to explain to you in reminding us of that, that God is a counselor and he desires to be a counselor, is we just simply want to explain to you what is a counselor. I mean, how does a counselor function? We're talking about a divine counselor now, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're going to allow him to be a counselor, then we got to know how he counsels. Amen. Mm. Oh, y'all now see, we never really broke down this stuff, boy. You know, yeah, he's a wonderful counselor. Yeah, he's got, but we don't even know how he's going to counsel us. That's just like going to a doctor and say, I need some counsel, but you don't know how he's going to counsel you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here it is. First of all, what we must understand is, let me break down to you what a counselor is, amen, or one who counsels. A counselor is one who analyzes data.
Mm-hmm.
And the data that one analyzes, the counselor will let me put it this way. The data that the counselor analyzes, the counselor will analyze the data. And then after analyzing the data, the counselor then will give one's advice. The counselor will then give one's plan. The counselor will then give one recommendation of the direction that a person should take in their lives.
Amen.
Let me say, a counselor is one who analyzes data.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the counselor analyzes all the data, then that counselor will come up with a plan.
Yep.
Will come up with a strategic a guidance or recommend some advice that you should take in your lives. Amen.
Amen.
That's all what a counselor does. That's all what it does when you go lay on that psychiatrist's couch. You know, they just listen to everything you say. They analyze everything you said. And now they're going to give you a recommendation on what you should do in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Are we talking to anybody?
Amen.
Watch this. So now let's relate it to God now. Let's show you how God does. So therefore, the way that God acts as a counselor, not only to the church, but also to the believer, is God will analyze the things that are taking place in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And after analyzing the things that's taking place in the believer's life, God will then give the believer some divine advice, some divine guidance, a divine plan, and God will give a divine recommendation on which way we should go in our lives.
Amen.
That's simply what God does. God sits high and he looks low. And yeah. Because God is an all-seeing God, he knows everything. God will simply look over our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll analyze the things that are taking place in our lives. And he's looking down and say, okay. And then what he'll do, he'll simply give us some advice.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. He'll simply give us guidance. He'll simply recommend a plan in a way that we should go. Amen.
And he knows us for
now watch this, y'all. Now here's where we got to catch this thing. Because that sounds so easy. Mm-hmm. But here is what we must understand about the counsel of God. Because remember, the counsel is divine. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, watch this, y'all. You got to stay with us on this. Here, when we look at verse 18, when the Bible says, I counsel thee. It is here in verse 18. We see Jesus is operating in the office of a counselor to this church. Amen?
Amen.
So here is what this scripture is showing us. Verse 18 is sharing with us, as Jesus is operating in the office of a counselor to the church, that when God analyzes the things that are taking place in the believer's life, and when God begins to counsel the believer in regards to what's taking place in the believer's life, God's counsel for the believer will be based on what's taking place in the spiritual realm,
mm-hmm,
rather than the natural realm of the believer's life.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me say that again, my brothers and sisters. When God analyzes what's taking place in our lives, mm-hmm, and when God begins to counsel us on what's taking place in our lives, God will counsel the believer based on the things that's taking place in the spiritual realm of the believer's life.
Amen.
Rather than the natural realm of the believer's life.
Mm. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, my goodness. Let me say that again, but we're going to say it this way. When God surveys the things that's taking place in the believer's life.
All right.
And when God begins to give the believer advice or guidance for the believer's life, God does not give the believer advice or guidance according to the system of this world, mm-hmm. but according to the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. Well, you got to catch this, y'all. You got to catch this thing, y'all, because we got to know what type of advice that God is giving us. We got to know when God guiding us, how is he guiding us?
Yes.
When God gives us guidance, it's not according to the system of this world, but it's according to the kingdom of God. Let me say it this way. When we go to God for counsel, when we ask God for direction, God, I need your help. I need to know which way to go. Anybody there right now? I need some direction in my life. God, I need a plan for my life today. Watch this, y'all. Now, what happens is that when we go to God seeking direction and guidance, you know, when God, he'll take the time. He'll look over our life. He already knows, but he'll just take the time to see what's going on. And when God begins to give us a plan or a recommendation for our life, the plan or the recommendation that God gives to the believer is not based on what man sees, but is based on what God sees.
That's right. Oh, that's my goodness. Amen.
Somebody got to catch this, y'all. You got to catch this because we're going to show y'all how important this is. Watch, when God begins to counsel believer for one's life, when God gives us advice, when God gives us a plan, when God gives us a recommendation, God does not give us a counsel based on what we can do, but it is based on what God wants to do in our lives. Oh my goodness, in the name of Jesus. I think somebody said, Pastor, you got to say that one more time.
Come on then.
When God counsels the believer, when we go to the God and say, God, I need some help. God, I need some direction. God, I need a plan for my life. When God looks over our lives and when God begins to counsel us, he does not counsel us based on what we can do, but he counsels us based on what he wants to do in our lives.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Watch this, dog. Now, this is where, Sister Hayes, if you could turn to 1 Samuel 16 and 7. This is why this scripture is so important to the church, y'all. This is why this is important that we understand what it means for Jesus to be a counselor. Because when God gives us advice, it's not based on the natural realm of life. It's based on the spiritual realm of life. When God directs us, it's not based on the system of this world, but it's based on the kingdom of God.
Yes.
When God gives us a plan for us, our lives, it's not based on what we see, but it's based on what God sees.
Yes.
Are we talking to somebody on today? You are.
Yes, yes, me.
1 Samuel 16 and 7.
Amen. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
Yes.
Are y'all hearing me what I'm saying to you? Are y'all hearing that now? So here it is. Let's slow this down. When you go to God and counsel, when you go to God and ask him to be a counselor in your life, when you go to God for advice, for direction, for planning your life, you must understand that when God begins to counsel us, he's not counseling us according to what we see.
Amen.
But according to what he sees. He does not counsel us according to the system of this world, but according to the kingdom of God. I got to keep on saying that till somebody catches this. When God gives us direction, he does not give us direction based on what we can do.
No.
But it's based on what he wants to do for our lives.
Amen.
Are y'all talking to us? Now, and that's why he says, my ways are not your ways. Are we talking to somebody on today? Amen. Now, why is that important to the believer on today, tonight? Because watch this. Because if the believer has allowed Jesus Christ to not only be savior of one soul, but to be Lord of one's life.
Yes.
Let me put it this way. If there are some believers in the house who have placed one's life under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that Jesus has to operate as a counsel in one's life every day of their lives.
Mm.
Watch this, y'all. Because the Bible commands every believer to acknowledge him in all of thy ways.
In all of
that's
thy
right.
Ways.
Amen.
Because the Bible commands every believer to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness for their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now watch this, y'all. Why is it that God commands the believer to acknowledge him in all of thy ways? Why is it that the Bible commands the believer to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness for our lives? It's so that God can be a counselor to our lives.
Yes, Lord.
It's so that God can guide us. It's so that God can give us advice. It's so that God can give us a plan and a recommendation on the way that we should go in our lives.
Amen.
Are y'all hearing this thing, y'all?
Yes.
Now let's fix this up, y'all. Now look at verse, when we look at verse 18, look at this, y'all. Look at the counsel that Jesus now gives to the church. We go, look at the counsel that Jesus gives to the church.
Yes.
He said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of the nakedness do not appear, and nor the eyes with eyes save, that thou mayest see. Now, you got to understand. Based on the counsel that Jesus is now giving to this church of Lacedonians,
yes,
it really does not make sense to them, my brothers and sisters. This counsel is not making sense to them because look what Jesus said. Jesus said, go buy gold, try with fire, so that thou may be rich. Wait a minute. They said, wait a minute, Jesus. We already rich. Did y'all read in verse 17? The Bible says that they were rich,
yes,
and increasing goods. But now Jesus said, I want y'all to go buy gold, try with fire, so y'all can be rich. They said, wait a minute, Jesus, you ain't making no sense. Now we already rich. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said, so that thou mayest be rich and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. They said, wait a minute, Jesus. Have you seen the clothes we wear? We wearing all the great, all the fashions that name known fashions. How in the world you want us to go buy some more clothes?
Amen.
Look at he said. He said, look at this, so that y'all can anoint the eyes with eye slave. Wait a minute. They was wearing some of the fastest eyewear that you can buy out here.
Amen.
The advice, the counsel that Jesus is giving the church, it does not make sense to them in the natural.
No.
Because they are already rich. They can buy all the clothes that they want to. You know, whenever they had a problem with their eyes, they could just go to the doctor. They had insurance.
That's right.
Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to y'all?
Amen.
Buses, but what they didn't understand, my brothers and sisters, is that the counsel that Jesus was now giving to them,
it's in the spiritual realm.
It was not based on the natural realm.
That's right.
It was based on the spiritual realm.
That's right.
The counsel that Jesus was giving them was not according to the system of this world.
Absolutely.
But it was according to the kingdom of God.
Yes.
The counsel that Jesus was giving them was not based on what they saw.
Mm-mm.
But it's based on what Jesus saw. What is this, y'all? The counsel that Jesus was giving them was not based on what they can do.
No.
But it was based on what Jesus
Amen.
Wanted to do for yep. their lives.
Yes.
Is somebody hearing us on tonight?
Amen. Amen.
Now watch this, y'all. Now watch this. We need to show you the danger of not understanding how God counsels the believer.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah 42, Sister Hayes. We're going to show you this, y'all. We're going to show you this, why this is so important to the believer today. Because today, my brothers and sisters, they are so. Well, matter of fact, it's safe to say this. I believe that everyone that's under the sound of my voice is looking for God for direction in one way or another in their life.
Amen.
Yes,
I believe that everyone that's under the sound of my voice is looking for God for some advice, for mm-hmm. some guidance, for some recommendations, for the direction in the way God wants them to go. Amen. Whatever
Amen.
In life, you right now sitting there saying, I'm just waiting for God to give me some direction. Amen. This is the reason why it's so important to understand how God counsels the believer. Watch this, y'all. Jeremiah 42. Here it is. I love this account. Amen. Just Sister Sage, go ahead on.
Verse 1, Pastor.
Right in there. Yes, we're going to read starting at verse 1, and we're going to read all the way, all the way down. My goodness, I have my other Bible. Let me see. We're going to read all the way to right around verse 11, I believe. Verse 11. I'll let you know when you stop. Okay.
Amen. Then all the captains of the forces, and Jonathan, the son of Kores, and Jaaniah, the son of Hosea, and all the people from the least even until the greatest came near. and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, Let we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this raiment. For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us.
Yes.
That the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do.
Amen. Let me stop you right here. Now, notice what it says. It says, as thy eyes do behold us. So they're looking at their situation from a natural perspective. Amen. And because of what they see, they don't know what to do. They don't know what direction to do. They don't know what direction to go. And so they simply find themselves in a season of life in which each and every one of us, matter of fact, on a daily basis, find ourselves in. They're seeking God. They said, God, show us the way to walk. God, show me what to do. Amen. Are we talking to somebody on today? Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Sister Hayes.
Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God.
Okay, now let me stop you right here, Sister Way. The reason why Jeremiah was so confident that he was going to get an answer from the Lord, because God desires to counsel his people.
Mm-hmm.
When God's people seek God's counsel, God is going to answer you. God is going to give you an answer to you seeking him as a counselor. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead now.
And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah.
Now, let me stop you right here. Remember, we said that now God had to analyze the situation.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, God took 10 days to now, gather up all the data and say, okay, I got an answer for him now, amen? See, when we seek God for advice, we got to give God time to analyze our situation.
That's right.
We got to give God time not only to, and watch this, God does not analyze our situation because he don't know. It's not because our situation has taken him by surprise. It's a possibility that God has given us ready and prepared to receive the advice that he's going to give us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, go ahead now.
Then call he Johanna, the son of Korea, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me, to present your supplications before him. If ye will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the kings of Babylon, of which ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord. For I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand.
My goodness.
I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land.
Now, let me stop you right here. Now, when you read this, God has now given them what they asked for.
Amen.
God has clearly given them advice. He's given them direction. He's given them guidance in a way that they should go. What they asked for, God has just given it to them. Amen?
Amen.
It is very clear to us as we read it, as Jeremiah has given it to them. Amen?
Yes.
Let me stop here. This is how clear God will give the believer advice who's seeking Jesus to be a counselor for their lives.
Amen.
But let me show you why it seems is always not that clear to us. Watch this. Go ahead, Nasir Zay.
But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, But we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. And now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there.
Hold on, sister, stop right here. So here's the question that we have to ask ourselves. Now notice what God said. God said, now if you hearken not into my voice. So the question that we have to stop now and say, well, why wouldn't they hearken into God's counsel? If God is such a wonderful counselor, and God knows all things, then why would it be that they would not hearken unto the counsel of God for their lives? That's the question we have to ask. Why wouldn't they listen to God? This is God telling them which way to go. Mm-hmm. So why would they not listen to God? Go ahead, James. We're gonna show you this, Richard. Go ahead.
Then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof ye were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. Wow. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. For thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my fury have been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you. When ye shall enter into Egypt, and ye shall be an exhortation and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and ye shall see this place no more.
Now let's stop right here. Now, wait a minute. God, he's made it very clear. They sought God for advice. God gives them advice on what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is why wouldn't they listen to God's advice? Well, here it is, my brothers and sisters. It's because the advice that God was giving to them didn't make sense to them. The advice that God was giving to them just didn't make sense to them. Remember, it was only a few of them. It was only a few of them left because they were under siege.
Amen.
And now what God was telling them, rather than go over and hide out in Egypt, God was telling them to stay. I want you to stay right where you are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how many of you, I don't care if it's two or three of y'all. I want y'all to stay right there.
That's what
I said. I guarantee you that I will protect you. I will raise you up. I will keep you. I will make sure that nobody harms you. But look at here. They were looking at the outward circumstance. Mm-hmm. They were looking at the danger that was all around them. And so it did not make sense of the advice that God was giving them. God, wait a minute, there's only three of us. 1,000 of us just got wiped out. And you want us to stay right here in the danger zone?
Mm-hmm.
Watch this, y'all. Here's what they didn't understand. Back to this lesson. They didn't understand that when they were seeking counsel for God, that when God was about to give them counsel, that the counsel that God was going to give them was not based on what was taking place in the natural realm.
Amen.
But it was based on what was going on in the spiritual realm. God was not counseling them based on the things that were happening in the land. God was giving them counsel based on what's happening in the spiritual realm of life. Mm-hmm. They didn't understand, my brothers and sisters, that when God was giving them advice, God was not giving them advice based on what they saw, but God was giving them advice based on what he saw.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't comprehend the fact that when God was giving them direction, God was not directing them based on what they can do.
That's right.
Amen.
But God was directing them based on what he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But because they didn't know that, watch this, y'all. Sister Hayes, chapter 43, verse 7. Just need to read one.
43, verse 7.
So they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord.
Oh.
Thus came they even to
Tobias.
Say it again, Pastor.
That's good. We only have to say it once. Now look at this, y'all. You got to see this, y'all. What they do, I said, God made his, he counseled them. He made it very clear to them. We read it, y'all. He made it very clear to them. He said, look here, I want y'all to stay right here. Mm-hmm. I don't want y'all to go to Egypt. They even said it. I don't go to Egypt, because if you go to Egypt, then that's not my will for your life. But watch this, y'all. They went to Egypt anyway.
Yeah, they did.
They went to Egypt. So the question is why in the world did y'all go to Egypt and God just told y'all not to go? Y'all cried for advice. He gave it to you all, but y'all didn't heed to it. Y'all didn't allow God to be a counselor to y'all life. Y'all didn't allow God to give you advice. Why, y'all? Because they didn't understand the principle.
Amen.
I'm going to say this again, you all, is that when God counsels us for our life, when he gives us advice, when he gives us a plan for his life, is not based on the things that are happening in the natural realm, but it's based on the things that's happening in the spiritual realm.
That's right, amen.
When God gives us a plan for his life, it's not based, my brothers and sisters, on what we see, but it's based on what God sees. It's not based on what we can do, because if it's based on what we could do, then God is going to go down to Egypt.
Yes.
But it was based on what God wanted to do for their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it's on today, my brothers and sisters, as we look at verse 18, three most important words in verse 18, I counsel thee. It is on tonight, my brothers and sisters, you know, and I'll say it again, everyone that sound under the sound of my voice, you know, we found ourselves in the same position as these, as this remnant in chapter 42. Lord, show us the way.
Mm.
Show us the way that you want us to walk. Show us the things that we may do.
Thank you, Lord.
And because God wants to be a counselor, God said, I'm going to counsel because that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you advice. I'm going to give you some recommendations. I'm going to give you a plan for your life. But here's the thing that you better understand is that when I give it to you, it's not based on your outward circumstances,
mm-hmm.
but it's based on the spiritual realm of life.
Mm-hmm.
You better understand, the next time I give you some advice, the next time you ask me for direction, you need to remember something, my brothers and sisters, that when I give you a recommendation, it's not based on what you're looking at, but it's based on what I see.
That's right.
It's not based on what you can do,
he can
but it's
do.
Based on
what God can do,
what I want to do.
That's right.
Amen.
And watch this, y'all. It may sound crazy to you, but when you know you've got that advice and it's very clear to you, then you can think, say, wait a minute, the reason why this don't make sense to me, because it's not based on what I'm looking at.
No.
It's based on what God sees, and God sees something that I don't see.
That's right.
See, I understand that God is not basing it on what I can do, because God knows I can't do nothing, because I wouldn't have called on him if I thought I could handle this thing. But it's mm-hmm. based on what God, that means God wants to do something for my life.
Yes, yes.
That does not make sense. So the next time that you see God, that you see Jesus to be a counselor in your life, the next time you ask God for some advice or some direction and guidance, when God gives you that advice, and when it does not make sense to your situation right now.
Doesn't matter.
When you say to yourself, this can't be God, because this don't make no sense. Do God see the situation I'm in right now?
Yeah.
Then you can say, wait a minute, God, I remember what you said to me that Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
But when you counsel folk, you don't counsel folk based on what we see, but you counsel me on what you see.
That's right.
You don't counsel your people on what we can do, but what you gonna do in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And when we understand that principle of Jesus being a counselor for our lives, my brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus, when Jesus is a counselor for our life, when we allow Jesus to be a counselor,
yes,
then he will direct us in the way that we should go. This is the reason why I said it. It is the third time I said it. Somebody might think that they need Jesus for a healer right now.
Mm-hmm.
People might think they need God for a deliverer right now. But maybe it's a possibility. We just simply need Jesus to be a counselor.
Yes. Yeah.
Because when God is counseling us, he will give us the perfect advice, the right advice, the right guidance and direction and a recommendation for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Lead us into all truth, and that will lead us in the way that he will want us to go for our lives. In verse 18, first, most important three words, I counsel thee. Jesus wants to be a counselor to the church.
Yes.
Jesus wants to be a counselor to the life of every single believer. The question on today is, will we allow God
to step in
and be a counselor for our lives and to our lives?
Amen.
Because we just read in the scripture, he wants to counsel us. Mm-hmm. He wants to give us advice. He wants to give us the plan for our lives, but he won't force it on us. We have to allow him to be a counselor for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us have a word of prayer. Father God, this once more again, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand and your all-seeing God to say thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Father God, for speaking to us line by line, precept by precept. Thank you, Father God, for dropping this principle.
Yes, Lord.
Through our spirits, Father God, concerning how you counsel the church, how you counsel the believer, Father
thank
God.
You, Lord.
We thank you, Father. First of all, we want to ask that you forgive us, Father God. If whenever we ask for advice, whenever we ask for your counsel, and we just struggle it off, Father God, because we didn't understand it, because it didn't make sense to us, Father God. But now we understand, Father God, that when we call on you, Father God, because you want to be a counselor to us, that you will counsel us, you will lead us, and you will guide us, Father God.
Yes, yes.
And when you counsel us, Father God, you won't counsel us the way we see things, but the way you see things, Father God.
Amen.
I just want to say thank you, Father God, for your revelation. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Father God, for speaking to us all this evening, Father God, as we seek you every single day.
Yes, hallelujah.
That you shall direct thy path, that you shall order thy steps, Father God.
Direct.
In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask that you look down on every soul that's under the sound of my voice, Father God. For anyone that's seeking direction for their lives right now, Father God, let them know, Father God, that you're sitting right there and you've been waiting for them, Father God, to open up that you may be a counselor for their lives.
Yes,
give them a gift, Father. Give them a heart to understand, Father God, the plan that you have for one's life. And we'll continue to give you the glory, the praises, and the honor. Let the church say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Come on and give us a hand praise on today.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited now in the name of Jesus. Amen. We pray that there was something that was said that really encouraged somebody. And I know it really helped, because I'm going to tell you, if you are born again believer, every single day you wake up, you ask Jesus to be a counselor for your life. If you're seeking God to direct you in ordering your steps, then you're asking God to be a counselor for your life.
Yes,
But the question is, now that we understand how God counsels us, because this is divine counsel. This is not the counsel of this world. This is not the counsel of man, but this is divine counsel.
Yes, it is.
And so we thank God for the word on this evening. We thank God for the mothers. We thank God for each and every one that joined us on this evening. We pray your health and strength. We ask that you will continue. Watch this, y'all. You continue to pray for God's house of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Because God is speaking to us. Amen. As we continue to, this is part of walking in victory that we only have in Christ Jesus. Amen. God has just given us the keys to be able to walk in victory in our lives. Stay encouraged. Allow God to cover you throughout the week and allow Jesus to be a comforter, a counselor in your life. Because as we say, he is not just a counselor, but he is a wonderful counselor. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If all hearts and minds clear?
Yes.
This is Sister Figgs.
Yes.
I have to go out of town again for another funeral, so I'll be leaving on Friday, and I should be back by Wednesday of next week. So,
okay.
Jimmy's brother's wife died. So.
Okay. Well, we definitely continue to lift you up in prayer and your traveling mercies. Amen.
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 Amen. Anybody else have anything they want to say before we get out of here on this evening?
Pastor, that was a wonderful, powerful message. And, you know, that part where you were talking about how we pay attorneys and psychologists and doctors for counseling, and we have to pay it. It might not work.
That's right.
This counseling is free. Oh. It's guaranteed to work.
That's right.
Amen.
And it's free.
It's free. It's free. Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes, Mother. Yes, Mother.
How?
Okay.
Next week you can tell me How am I supposed to recognize that it's God talking to me?
Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee, Mother Joyce. Ooh-wee. We're going to write that down there. We're going to tell you about that. Amen. Amen. We're going to implement that in this series. Amen.
Okay.
Because remember the one thing that one thing we have to do. Matter of fact, I can answer this just off the cuff right here. When we seek God for counsel, in seeking God for counsel, we have to also seek that God will give us an ear
to hear
His voice. Amen. See, because if we don't have that ear, we have to ask God to give us an ear to hear the voice of God. Amen.
Amen. Okay.
And how many know that if you really want to hear the voice of God and direct, God will give you that ear to hear. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so not only that, but then also ask God to give you the spirit to be able to discern.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit and the spirit to discern. Amen. We're just simply sticking Bible here now. And when you're believing that God is giving you the spirit to discern, matter of fact, let me go a little bit farther. One of the things, Mother Joyce, and you've been around long enough. One of the things that God has been teaching you over your years is how to distinguish between the voice of God.
Right.
And another voice. Amen. So along with that, what God will begin to do, God will simply start to replace some things, some past experience where you thought it was God speaking to you, but it wasn't. And that's how that's how He begins to teach you how to distinguish the voice of God for your life. Because remember, the Bible says that my sheep hear my voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so that also comes with, I'm going to throw one more on to you, that also comes with faith too.
Amen.
You've got to believe that it's God speaking to you. You've got to believe when you hear it. And it's a growing process. But like I said, you've been around long enough, so you know. And God will begin to teach you how to hear the voice of God. Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. I hope we help you a little bit on that, Sister Mother Joyce.
Amen. Okay.
Anybody else? But we're going to still tap in that a little bit deep, okay? Amen.
Okay.
Anybody else want to add to before we get ready to get out of here? Amen. Well, God bless you. We love you. And Lord's will, we'll see you on Sunday. Be there, be square. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you. We love you. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Good night. I love you as well. All right. All right.
Night, Jabba.
Love you.
All right. Love you now.
Night.